All right, so we're good to go. Awesome. All right, so welcome back to the In Hope Podcast. We got me and we have the big show, the main man, right? For all you jabronis, I've been watching The Young Rock.
Oh, God.
He keeps on throwing out that jabroni. So, yeah, but we're here with Brian again. We wanted to talk about the 12 days of Christmas, or I want to talk about the 12 days of Christmas. I just sprung this on Brian. But we've been so, as Limitless, as a church, I've actually been sending out these messages talking about what the 12 days of Christmas represent. And it's interesting because I feel like in some aspect, I knew Bilbo was going to try to jump in the shot. I knew it. As soon as he got the opportunity, he got up to get some pets.
Yeah. He was doing fine.
He was doing just fine. And then as soon as he pressed record, he's like, "Oh, let me get in here and get my pet. Let me get my shot real quick." He is a pretty dog, but Bilbo, you gotta get out of here. Bilbo, go out. Go lay down. He's like, "I'm on camera. You can't do anything." Out. Go. 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 Actually, I'm gonna put you out the room. Come on. Come on. Out, Bilbo. There we go. Okay. Now we're good. All right. So I was going to give you one of these. You'll be getting one of these real quick, but this will, this is our very late Christmas letter, that we're sending out to people, but it actually has on here, it talks about the 12 days of Christmas and what each thing represents. So there's a little cheat sheet for you, but on the 12 days of Christmas, what's interesting is I guess this actually came from a time when the church was under persecution. And I'm pretty sure it was one of those times where it was the church persecuting the church. You had a lot of those times in England, right? Where it was, you know, one faction was in charge, whether it was like the Anglican church or the Catholic church or whatever it may have been. One of those churches was in charge and then they were persecuting the other church and being, getting hard on the other church. But during this time, this comes from the Catholic side, I believe, where they were actually using the 12 days of Christmas as code to teach their kids 12 things that the church believes. So it's interesting because when we go through this, you'll notice some of them is like, okay, that's different language than what you would get in, you know, like a non-denominational Presbyterian, any reformed movement or anything like that. It's different language. And I think that's because of its Catholic roots, right? But even still, I feel like there's truth to all of these that really does go throughout all of Christendom, that the whole church can say, okay, maybe we may not agree on exactly how we practice this and the doctrine that we build around it, but we agree on this aspect of it. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about here, because I think that's interesting looking at Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. Christmas is one of those holidays that the world joins in.
Yeah.
But it is one of those holidays that I feel like as a church, we can celebrate this together. Mm-hmm. We can all come together and say, yes, we're celebrating the fact that Jesus, our Lord, came to earth incarnate of the Virgin Mary, right? And we can celebrate that. We can all agree on that, right? And so I feel like this is another aspect of that with the 12 days of Christmas where it's like, okay, here's quite a few things that we can all agree on. Mm. So Aria is hopefully not getting picked up by the microphone because she's over here singing. But I will ask her from time to time, what goes on that day? Cause she knows the whole song. I don't know the whole song. Right. No, hold on. So, the first day of Christmas, I know for sure is the partridge and the pear tree. Cause that's the one that's said the most in the song. Cause it always comes back to it. I'll ask you when we don't remember, because I know we're going to remember some of them, but not all of them. So you have the partridge and the pear tree. So the first day of Christmas, partridge in the pear tree, that actually represents Jesus and the cross.
Okay.
The partridge, Jesus, and the pear tree, the cross. So that being something that I feel like, again, as a body of Christ, we may have different understandings of what all was accomplished there, or what all that means, but we can agree Jesus on the cross is what we need. Yep. That's he's him doing that is what pays for our sin, right? Yep. And saves us, that he was the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Right. So that's, I think that's pretty interesting that as we go through these, there's some very key significant things. Are there anything surrounding Jesus on the cross where you feel like, okay, we, for the most part, we can all hold on to this. Maybe here's where we have some differences, but like for the most part, we can gather around this and say Jesus and the cross, we can hold to this as a truth that pulls us all together.
Yeah, because I think that's one of the things that doesn't separate us.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus on the cross, that's every Christian denomination that falls under the true faith, because there's the ones who use the Christian name but aren't, like Mormonism and all that. Mm-hmm. And that means nothing to them.
Yeah.
But to the Christian denominations that fall under that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't think of anything different.
Yeah.
Outside of like Roman Catholics.
Yeah. Yeah. And which for them, I know so for, and I'm not sure. I feel like there might be maybe one or two outside of Catholicism, but I'm not sure. I know there's the belief, and this is why you'll see crucifixes that are different, some with Jesus still on it and some with him off of it, because there's that belief of him really still paying for sins. And which I can understand that comes from in scripture where Paul talks about, you know, you're crucifying Christ again.
Yeah.
And so there's some difference of interpretation there, mm-hmm. right? But we can still come back to this fact of, okay, it's there Jesus is paying for our sins, mm-hmm. and that he was crucified on our behalf. Yeah. I know there's some that would go so far as to say, and I want to say this is what is taught within Islam, is that Jesus wasn't really on the cross.
Okay.
That someone else took that place for him. Mm. And so that I find really interesting. That is a core thing that as believers, we have to hold on to. And that Jesus was on the cross. So that's something that brings us together.
Yeah. Not only that he was on the cross, but that he actually died.
Yes. Yes. There you go.
The thing that holds it all together.
Yeah.
Is that we hold to the truth that he did die.
Mm-hmm.
Like he didn't just like fainted, and then that's why he was able to leave.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That he didn't fake his death. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
He did die.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that we hold true
to. Exactly.
And it is the basis of our faith, because the most powerful part of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's not real resurrection if he didn't. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yep. So Aria, make sure you're paying attention to make sure that's not going off. Okay. Okay. What's it called? We have number two. So you have the partridge and the pear tree. And then day two is, and so as we're going through this, something that I recommended to our church family, and I've been doing this with the girls at night. And we've missed a day here or there where like I've been out late or something. And then so we'll catch it up the next day. But just like in the song where, you know, you go day one and then day two and they repeat, they say what's on day two, but then repeat what's on day one. I've been saying, okay, this is a great way to actually go into the new year. Finish the old year and go into the new year, because the 12 days of Christmas is day one. Then it goes all the way through January 5th. And then you have the Dia de los Reyes, right? After that, the Epiphany. But we have, with that, the 12 days of Christmas, you finish the old year and come into the new year. thanking God for each of these things. Mm. So like day one, you thank him for Jesus on the cross. Day two is, what's day two? Two turtle doves, right? And then so you have two turtle doves, and that represents the Old and the New Testament. Oh. Right? And then so you thank God for the Old and the New Testament and Jesus on the cross. Because yeah. just like the song, it always repeats, right? And then so you just kind of, you go in each day and you add that next one, but you're thanking God for all of these things. A great practice for those 12 days of Christmas and just remembering these great gifts. So Old Testament, New Testament. Two turtle doves, two testaments. What are your thoughts there?
Different words when it comes to the old and new, but
yeah.
When we talk about the Bible, like we separate it just so for a timeline, but we don't separate it as like one being less holy or not.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You were more holy. No, both are so holy because both are the word of God.
And, yeah.
And the ones who try to neglect one or the other, we got to remember, okay, like, hey, we serve our Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
And trust me, he quoted.
Yeah. His sermon. All the New Testament.
The Old Testament.
Yeah. The New Testament is like 80% Old Testament. They're quoting and interpreting and so much, pulling from the Old Testament so much.
So you can't, like I said, there's distinctions, but they're not separate.
Yeah.
And distinction Absolutely. And separation are two separate things.
Yeah.
They're totally different things.
Yeah.
Because they're meant for that.
Yeah.
Because without that distinction between both, you wouldn't be able to see that the prophecy is being fulfilled through Jesus in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And what's it called? I think something that's really interesting about that Old and New Testament is that, like you said, some will really put more emphasis and almost disregard the other. With the Old Testament, this is something that I feel like really is a great aspect of bringing the church together, and that we agree on the books of the Old Testament, that those are inspired books. Right. Even in Jesus's time, not all of the religious rulers agreed. Yeah. You had the Sadducees who they only looked to the first five books. And then so Joshua, Judges, Kings, Chronicles, the prophets, the Psalms, the Proverbs, none of that was inspired word to them. But we can look at it and say, okay, from Genesis to Malachi, we know we can all agree that these are inspired. Right. And you'll have some that will even throw a few more in there, right? Yeah. But we can at least come to an understanding that, no, we can hold to these, though, together. We can hold to these. So I think that's really cool. And then same thing with the New Testament. Man, I forget how many books are in the Ethiopian Bible. That's the biggest one. I want to say it's like 120-something. I could be wrong. But the Bible that most of us hold to is 66, right? So they have a lot of Old Testament things that they throw in there as well. And then there's also some New Testament additions in there. But we can at least look to within the New Testament, say Matthew through Revelation, we know, like, we agree on this. Yeah. So I feel like that's important. Old and New Testament is day two with the two turtle doves. Day three was, I feel like I remember this. What is it? Three French hens. I knew it. Okay. It saved me for a moment. So three French hens, and that stands for faith, hope, and love. I was about to say Chronicles. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, faith, hope, and love. These three things remain, right? And so I think that's beautiful that we can all hold to that, right? That our faith is in Christ, our hope is in Christ, and God is love, right? And I think what's cool about that too is I feel like you need these things for unity to exist.
Oh, yeah.
if we start to lose faith and lose trust in God, then it's hard to work in unity with other people.
Yeah.
Like the church itself, the church in existence, being part of a church, you have to have faith.
Yeah.
Cause if you don't, people are going to turn you away from it real quick.
Yeah.
Cause we're messed up. Right. So it's like, you have to have that faith that, and that trust that God is above and over it all. Right. And then you have to have that hope for the future that things are going to get better. One of those, characteristics that I put of unifiers, that I say is a characteristic of a unifier, is that we are hopeful, that we are we have hope, we have optimism. You'll notice something I feel like that kills unity and this idea of working with one another often is pessimism. Like we expect things to go wrong, right? So I think that's a big one. And then it all has to start. It all starts with love.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be hard to continue to work with people and to desire the best for others, to honor them above ourselves, if we don't have a love for one another.
And it has to start, like, before you even start anything, you sure have to love them.
Right.
That, Christ already showed to you.
Yeah. Right.
Cause you know, like, you can learn to love more. like, you can't start something, administrative of the Lord, or whatever the Lord has called you to, and like expect to just like learn the love of God.
Yeah. At that moment. Yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
But like, it's better to,
already
come in knowing the love of Christ and already share that, express that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I was talking with Daniel the other day, Danimal, right? Oh. Yeah. You're like, which one? Danimal. I call him Danimal. So, I was talking with him the other day. He's back in town. So you guys got it. Yeah. Yeah. So, I was talking with him and I mean, written with real wisdom, young man, real wisdom. He was saying, we're talking about love, and he was talking about how this agape love, like we can only give that because God gives that to us.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's, he's talking about loving others and he's saying, I love you because of the love God has given me. It's that love that I'm using to love you. And so I think that's really big, is that we do have to start from that foundation of we love him because he first loved us, but we also love one another because he loves us. I mean, it's almost like you looking at me and being like, hey, you know, bro, I love you, but I can't stand your wife. I hate your like, dude, like you've heard me say, right? Like that, she's not mine. She's me. Like we gotta figure this out. You can't love me and not love her. Right. Yeah. And so it's interesting. Cause you see that within scripture. You see Jesus time and time again, refer to the church as himself.
Yeah.
There's even, you know, those portions where he's saying, you know, as you do unto the least of these, you've done to me. Right. And that's not only the good. I think sometimes we want to hold on to the good and be like, yeah, you know, I've given the charity and whatnot, so I've done it. But he's also saying those times when you've looked down on him, turned away from him. Yeah. I mean, so we have to consider that when we're interacting with other believers, especially like how that is, Jesus is going to take that personal. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just put it like, he's going to take that personal. So yeah, how are we loving? That's big. Or is it going? Is it still recording? Okay. I need you to make sure you keep an eye on it. Okay. Yeah, I know you gotta keep a close eye on it though. Aria's over here trying to hold down the camera for us. And sometimes this thing, likes to mess with us. So day four, we have the 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, partridge in a pear tree, but day four is 4 calling birds. Mm. And the 4 calling birds stood for the 4 gospels. Mm. So good. 4 calling birds, the 4 gospels. Again, one of those things that I feel like, yes, we can rally around this. This is the good news.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's a few in here that point directly to scripture, like to scriptures being what we're thankful for, what he's giving. Including the next one, which is day 5. 5, and I know this one, everybody knows 5. 5 golden rings, right? And so Five Golden Rings is the Pentateuch, or the first five books, right? And so earlier I was saying how the Sadducees, they only held to this. They thought only the first five, only the Torah, the first five books. And then so I find that really interesting. That being in here, it goes to me, it goes to say, okay, we may have disagreement again on everything that's included, but we can still be thankful for these, which I think is a big deal. Because I think we see this in the church sometimes where we should be able to agree on something, but we start devaluing and pushing it away because like another group holds to that firmly. Right. And so we kind of shy away from it and push it away because we don't want to associate with that group. We want to we want to be distinct. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Because I feel like we do that, especially from denomination to denomination, kind of group to group. It's like, okay, this denomination really holds to this. Right. Yeah. And so we're going to not really pay much attention to that. And even sometimes we'll come against it. Unfortunately, it's one of those things where it's like, no, we should be able to say, okay, we don't agree on everything, but we can still agree on this. And so I like that with the first five books, right? Mm. I mean, that was a hot dividing issue, whether or not it goes beyond the first five books or not, when it came to the inspired scripture in Jesus's day. And like, but we can all still say, but there's no question, we do agree on this.
Yeah,
we do agree on this. So that's really cool. And I think it's important also to say, like, recognize there is true value in this. We can't do away with it. There's a reason and such a great significance to these first five books, which is why we can all agree on them. Why even those that would say we're not sure about the other ones would say, but we are sure about this.
Yeah.
I think that says something about those first five.
And it brings back when we look at the history of it, how mm-hmm. it came to be, and like who the author is, which was Moses, yeah. Being the first one to really write everything down
yep.
in an organized fashion.
Yeah.
Because everything was just word of mouth.
Yeah. Because yeah. Within it. Yeah. With Abraham and Isaac. Yeah.
And we got to remember, like, humans back then had better memories yeah. than we do today.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So, and like everything, the traditions of being passed on, like of the fathers and the father
yeah.
was very important. And this is the first time it was done in an organized fashion.
Yeah.
And that's what it holds strong today, mm-hmm. because we can't deny that.
Yeah.
It's everything's been passed down, not just in a word for word, but now it's being written. That's where the Levites started writing things down.
Yeah.
Copying it, like yep. spreading it out.
Exactly.
And I think that was the importance of the Torah, the Pentateuch.
Yeah.
Right. That. And I think that's why the denominations can't really fight it.
No.
they hold true to it.
Yeah.
They're like, no, we like you said, they might, we have our differences in the additional ones, but when it comes to the five.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, and to me, even looking at those first five, I've told people, I feel like after the first five books, we may think there's a lot of new stuff, but really, a lot of what we see after the first five books is God holding true to what he said in the first five.
Yeah. Oh,
of course. I mean, it's just, yeah. it's like there's a passage within the first five, I want to say in Deuteronomy, where Moses is going over and he's talking about the blessings and the curses, right? And I feel like what you get from Joshua all the way up through Malachi is, okay, here are those curses we talked about, or here are those blessings we talked about, right? And it's funny because there's actually so much detail already there within when he's talking about those and what will happen, that you're really just seeing the fulfillment of those. So you get a little more detail and more expression around it, but I think a lot of people would be surprised as far as how much he already said was going to happen within those first five books. And we just see that being fulfilled within the rest of the Old Testament and into the New Testament.
Yeah, because people tend to forget. And Because they just hear the word Torah, which is law.
Yeah.
And they think that's it.
Yeah.
I was like, no, those five books.
Just the 10. Yeah, yeah, exactly. A whole lot more.
It is the law, but like, it has way more than just the law.
Absolutely.
And prophecy, it had history.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, it had even poetry.
Oh, yeah.
And like it's just so massive, those five books.
Yeah.
I think that's why it's a huge impact in the Christian life.
Exactly.
And like, even for the Israelites.
Yeah.
They didn't forget it.
Yeah.
Like, they were, that's the funny thing. They would forget to worship God.
They wouldn't forget the law, right? Exactly.
They would not forget those five books.
Right? Man. So you have those, that's day five, day six. What does the song say for day six? Aria, the one over there looking at the camera. Six geese a-laying. I should have remembered that. Especially looking at this, what it represents is the 6 days of creation. Makes sense. So, you know, geese laying eggs, creation. So you have the 6 days of creation. I think that this especially, I feel like, is one of those areas where we start getting into people will have difference of interpretation. Yeah. On what a day is within, you know, within Genesis 1 and 2, right? But we can all hold to, okay, we see 6 days of creation. And I think the bigger thing there is that God is the one who created all of this within the 6 days, right? So I think that's a good one. 6 days of creation. Here's one where we got to talk through a little bit. Day seven. Let me not get ahead of myself. Day seven, was, do you know what day seven is? Seven swans a swimming, right? Seven swans a swimming stands for what I'm going to call seven ordinances, more traditionally called the seven sacraments of the church, right? And so with that, there was also another one. I think it was like the seven blessings, but I think the seven sacraments is the most popular one. Most known, most prevailing one when it comes to what these represent. Can you make sure that you're keeping an eye on it? You good? All right. It's recording. You see the little? Okay, cool. So you have seven ordinances. I had this written down. Where did I have it? Is it down here? Let me see if this is it. Avery came and drew all over it. But yes, this is it. Okay. So you have the seven ordinances. These ordinances or sacraments, I'll say sacraments and I'll explain why I use different verbiage there. But the seven sacraments that these represent are baptism, Eucharist, marriage, right? I was like, okay, all right. There's penance or confession, right? Confirmation, anointing the sick, and holy orders. So, looking at those, again, I feel like this is one of those areas where it's like, okay, we don't exactly use the same verbiage here.
Yeah.
On some of these, we can definitely see where we differ, right? But I feel like even in every single one of these, there are things where it's, okay, as a church, as a whole, we can agree on this, and this can bring us together. Number one, starting with baptism. Yeah. We'll practice baptism in different ways, right? But we all recognize Jesus was baptized and he tells us to go and baptize, right? And so that is something that we all hold to. And I think while there is difference of belief and interpretation, one of the reasons why I was saying ordinances instead of sacraments. Ordinance is, you know, a practice that the church takes on and makes, you know, a formal practice. A sacrament is a lot of times seen as something as you have to do this for your salvation. Whereas ordinances aren't, this is part of your salvation, right? And so, and that's what, so that's why we're kind of doing different verbiage here. And this, that gets into the whole, we have differences on the doctrine we build around these things. But I think without a doubt, we can all say, no, we practice baptism and we recognize how Paul says, you know, when we're baptized, we're being buried, we, you know, we're dying to our old selves and we're raising to new life in Christ. So that's, that I find it, and some see it as, you know, that's, it's a purifying, a washing away of the sin, right? And I have to say that because not everybody does the burying, right? but everybody recognizes, okay, this is a purifying, a washing away of sin and a commitment towards Christ, right? And so that's, I think that's a great thing with baptism. Mm-hmm. Eucharist, do you know the other word for that, right?
Yeah, communion.
Communion, there we go. So communion, I feel like, again, we'll have, you know, some different beliefs around it. But we recognize the first communion at the Last Supper and it becoming a practice within the church and that we do it. And again, I think, I mean, while we'll start building a lot of stuff around it, again, I mean, can we, let's go back to what Jesus said, right? Remember me. Right. So we can all agree that we do this in remembrance of him.
Yes.
And remembrance of him breaking his body and spilling his blood for us. Right. And it being the blood of the new covenant. So marriages, I was actually surprised when I saw that as a sacrament, as one of the sacraments. Right. But this is something that, again, within the church, we do recognize and practice marriage before God.
Yeah.
Right. And it being something that most of the time is done by clergy and that type of thing, because it's something that we're saying we're doing this before God. Mm-hmm. And so I find that interesting.
Because that one surprised me. But like, when you said that, I was like, actually,
yeah.
Like that makes sense.
Right.
Even though like, I wasn't expecting it, but like, it does make sense. And like, especially the language, God always uses in scripture, the church being the bride and Christ being the bridegroom. And then, very beginning, Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
And that's the marriage right there. And like, so I, like I said, I didn't expect it when I was thinking about what these sacraments would be. But it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. First institution he ever, you know, first thing he ever set up, right?
Yeah.
Marriage. Between mankind. So what's the next one? Confession. Yes. Penance. Confession. This, again, an area where we'll practice it different.
Very different.
We have. we have some differences, you know, around the thought of it, the doctrine of it. Mm-hmm. This is one, honestly, this is one where, and I'm sure you've heard me say this before. I feel like this is one where, especially the Protestant Reformed, I feel like we've gotten too far away from practicing this because of our trying to differentiate.
Yeah.
And I think that comes back to this idea of with that breaking away and trying to differentiate from Orthodox and Catholicism, and that it has to happen through a priest, right? And that absolves. But within scripture, we do see we're to confess our sins to one another, right? And there is such a great blessing in that. And I feel like we do not practice this well.
No.
And so, but this is something that, yes, where we should confess and repent.
Yeah.
And that includes confess. Like, we should have people that we can talk to and we can bring these things out with, and that can walk through them with us.
Yeah.
Right. And encourage us, tell us, you know, like, hey, God forgives you. 'Cause, I mean, how hard is it sometimes to actually believe that God forgives you? And it's even harder when you're keeping it in the dark and no one else knows.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to one of the few steps of the days and having faith.
Yeah.
Yes, we have faith in God, but God gave us each other. We should have faith in one another. And that, like, I'm gonna tell you,
yeah,
like what happened last night.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
And like how sin, I'm gonna have faith that you're not gonna kick me out of your house.
Exactly.
like I'm gonna have faith that you're gonna love me, correct me, even though I'm not gonna like it.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna have faith that you're gonna be a brother in Christ and redirect me.
Yeah,
and you're not a mediator, because that's why I think like we've done. Like as Protestants, we've done a terrible job.
Yeah,
trying, like you said,
no mediator. So we're get rid of each other. Get rid of it altogether.
And with Catholicism and you said the Orthodox, they usually go to a priest like, I have to confess my sin.
Yeah,
and all that. It's like, no, you confess to God, but God gave us each other.
Yeah,
you knew we can't do life alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Jesus made 12 to be with one another.
Yeah.
Like when one of them messed up, they were there to uplift them.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So not correct out of human nature, but correct through the word of God.
Exactly.
And they weren't saying they're like, I'm perfect. No, they're saying God's perfect. He's the one who did this.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But in the same time, because like, talking to my youth a lot of times, I tell them, like, I'm not Jesus. I can forgive your sin.
Yeah.
I'll listen. I'll correct through scripture.
Yeah.
But, like, ultimately, you need to pray. And if you need help from that, let's pray now.
Yeah. And I think it's good also in that we can encourage and remind them of God's forgiveness because it is there in scripture, right? We're not the one giving the forgiveness, but we can use scripture to affirm to them, you have been forgiven, right? And sometimes we need that from one another. Sometimes we need that.
Yeah, yes, reading scripture by yourself and you're like, yeah, God forgives me, but like you said, that confirmation, not from only one brother and sister,
but
from multiple. Or like imagine the entire church saying,
you
are forgiven.
Brother. Yeah, exactly.
Like, woo. Like, who's going to stop that?
Right? like the encouragement that comes. Oh, man. Yeah. The encouragement that would come from that. That's amazing. Okay. This gets into confirmation. Confirmation is interesting because within some churches, Lutheran, Anglican, I think Orthodox, Catholicism, it's like baptism is practiced much earlier. And I feel like in Protestants, it's flipped, right? Yeah. It's just in Protestantism, we do, dedications.
Yeah.
Like when kids are young. And then there's baptisms when kids are young. But then there's confirmation later, or for, you know, a lot of more Protestant it's baptism later. But confirmation is one of those areas in which we're confirming our faith. We're confirming our commitment towards God. But more so, this is where I feel like the agreement truly, we can truly come to agreement on this, is that within confirmation, it's believed that a gift is bestowed on us from the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit strengthens us and empowers us to spread and defend his word. And so I just feel like, where can we not agree in that, right? We definitely, who within the church, within all believers, would not say, yeah, the Holy Spirit empowers us to spread his word and defend his word.
Yeah.
Right. And so I feel like that is something that that's where we can agree. While we may not agree on the whole of confirmation, there is a quote unquote confirmation of our relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. You know, he says the Holy Spirit is our seal. It is our deposit. It's what really confirms to us our relationship with him. And then we see within scripture, yes, the Holy Spirit is there to empower us.
Yes. And the Holy Spirit as well has also the title of He is our faithful witness.
Yes.
Yeah. And like people would ask, like, what does that mean? I was like, well, come judgment day, like the Father will be like, you know, look at all you've done. Jesus will be our attorney, right?
Yeah.
Like, yes, but through my blood, he accepted me.
Mm.
And it's yeah. witness.
Yeah. With him. Hey, come on now. So, yeah. Come on.
So there's that confirmation.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Good stuff. And then there's, anointing the sick, right?
Yep.
We believe in anointing and praying for the sick and seeing them healed. That's something that we can see within scripture that is encouraged. Through church history. I think again, some of the differences in that is like, who does it, right? And but I think we can agree that within the church as a whole, right, that God encourages us as believers to anoint the sick and pray for them.
Yes.
Right.
Lay hands on them.
Lay hands on them. Exactly.
Like the disciples did it. Jesus did it.
Yep.
Who are we to say no?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And speaking of Jesus and the disciples, that's where we get into the holy orders. Holy orders is, so it's really this passing down, taking on of the simplest way of looking at it is passing down, taking on of apostolic ministry, meaning you're taking on, you're getting passed down ministry that has come from Jesus and the apostles.
Yeah.
Right. And so again, there's going to be differences on, you know, who can take all of that and whatnot. But within the church, we see, that we can agree that we are stepping into taking part in the ministry of the apostles and Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so I think, something that's really interesting about this one is this is one that I think we need to spend more time on as believers in general and recognizing the weight and the responsibility, the privilege, right? Of we are being given, we are being handed what was started by Jesus and the apostles. Like, that's not something to take lightly.
No, no.
So those are the seven sacraments, seven ordinances. That's day seven.
Yeah.
All right. The Beatitudes is what makes up day eight. What's the thing for day eight? You remember, Aria? Eight maids of milking, right? Stands for the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount. So that's beautiful, you know, poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted. And to me, that's something to sit with, right? Mm-hmm. Where Jesus says, blessed are you. So he's saying that there's a blessing. He's pronouncing blessing over these. And how often do we strive for these things? Mm-hmm. You know, we'll strive for a lot of things, but I mean, do we turn our mind towards and give our focus towards being poor in spirit? Do we value and think about there's a blessing in meekness, that we should be hungering and thirsting after righteousness, right? Being merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers. I mean, you talk about unity, right? And being a peacemaker, having that meekness, that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
And then, blessed are those who are persecuted. I think it's interesting because that one, I feel like that can be hard, especially for us who are more used to more comfort and not, you know, strong persecution. It's that we see so much within the New Testament that there's a different mindset there and that it is a privilege, and they see blessing and privilege and being offended, being persecuted, being, spoken ill against, as Jesus says, for the sake of the gospel and for him.
Yeah.
And so I think it's interesting because there's a balance to it. Like, you don't want to go picking fights to pick fights and then be like, ah, I got socked for Jesus. Right. No, you got socked because you were being an idiot. Right. Because you went and picked a fight. That's why you got socked. But it's one of those things to where it's like, yeah, we have to, we need to consider, where is our mindset on these things? And are we seeing these as blessings?
Yeah.
And are we seeing that there's a blessing that comes from it? Are we willing to go after that?
Because like when we do those prayers, like, Lord, bless me. Just come. Bless me with this.
I know. How often do we say, bless me with persecution? Yeah,
exactly. and I think we got to go back to the words of the Lord. And like when he said, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be honoring.
Yeah.
You should take that with a handful of grace.
Yeah.
When it comes to that, like, if I'm being persecuted, like, don't think of it like, it's because of me. Think about it like, I'm being persecuted for you.
Yeah.
And I think that changes the mindset to the blessing. Like,
absolutely.
Or like you said, we said, bless me and persecute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and I know we talk about like when, if the devil is not after you, then he's like, you're not
a problem. Yeah, you're not a threat. Yeah, exactly.
But if he's after you, that means you do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And again, I think it's one of those things to where it's, if you're in that place, make sure, right, you're not there because, oh man, and this can be tough, right? It's one of those, you want to make sure you're there for the right reason.
Mm.
Like I said, like, don't go get jumped, get beat up, and then be like, I did it for Jesus, when no, you were being rude, you were being obnoxious. You, like, if it's for him, he says, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. Then it can't be about you, your pride, your ego, what you're going and doing, and you wigging an argument and doing things right. Like, it needs to be about him. You need to be walking the way that he walked.
Yeah.
Following him, doing things in his manner. And it's not one of those things where we try to stir it up. If we are enough like him,
mm-hmm.
then, like you said, there's a threat there to the enemy.
Yeah.
And we will find that trials and difficulties will come because we are living counterculturally.
Yeah.
So, man, eight Beatitudes there. Ninth day of Christmas. What is it, Aria? Is the camera still going good? Nine ladies dancing. There we go. Sounds like Nitro. Sounds like the nightclub. Nah. Is that what it's called? I think it is. I think it's called Nitro over here. I think so. They changed the name.
Okay.
So I think it's called Nitro. But you got nine. Shows you that we hit the club up often, right? but what's it called? Nine fruits of the Holy Spirit are the nine ladies dancing. So, I mean, I think a few of us would be familiar with those in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I love those. I just, was talking about those in another podcast, and really the emphasis there was, look, maybe I'm completely wrong about this. Take it with a grain of salt. But the way that I see it is these lead into the next. When you have love, then you find joy. And when you have joy, it's easier to walk in peace. And when you have peace, man, then we can be patient. Like, try to be patient without peace, right? try to have peace without joy. And so it just kind of, it leads one into the next. And I feel like the capstone of it all is that thing that most of us aim for, especially New Year's resolutions, right? New Year's resolutions, in my opinion, is people jumping to self-control.
Mm. Yeah.
That's usually what it is. A New Year's resolution is some type of self-control type deal. But that's the last fruit of the Spirit. It's going to be hard to get there if you don't have the love, you don't have the joy, you don't have the peace, you don't have the patience, you don't have the kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Then we get to that place of self-control. Right?
Yeah, because self-control could also be like associated with discipline.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what like that's what it is. Like,
yeah.
And it's the last thing. And the thing about the fruits of the spirit that we always talk about, fruit of spirit, something that grows out of you, has to be noticeable, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think we talk so much about like, but the fruit is meant to be eaten.
Yeah.
You got to like eat it yourself.
Yeah.
But if it's multiplying, like the yeah. book says,
then you're giving it to others. To absolutely. Absolutely.
It's meant to be consumed. To
yeah.
use the word.
Right. Right. No. Yeah. If you just let it sit there, it rots.
Yeah. Like
it rots. Yeah. It rots. No, it falls.
It's meant to be used.
That's good. Yeah. You have to use these things. You have to practice them, and you have to, I think sometimes, we stop at sowing the seed for love, joy, peace, patience, right? We sow the seed and then we don't water. Mm. And we're not faithful to water. We're not faithful to prune. We're not faithful to nurture, right? And it's God who grows it, right? But we still need to be faithful and coming back to it and watering it and you know, being that, what's it called? I want to say under shepherd. But there's another word when it comes to farming and, you know, gardening and whatnot. But yeah, just being that gardener, that faithful servant that is going to
come back every day.
Come back. Yeah. And take care of it.
Take care of it.
Yep.
In the morning.
Yep.
Come back for lunch.
Right.
Look how it's doing. Come back in the evening.
Yeah, exactly.
And then trust the Lord where you sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And then so... what's that say, Arya? Are we done yet? No. Almost. We're getting close. Say what? What's the bottom part say? You're hungry and tired? Aw. I fed you yesterday. Why are you... That was twice this week. And you're talking about being hungry? Yeah, you're hungry and tired? I fed you twice this week already. All right, you got to wait for next week. Okay.
Hey, remember, next week is tomorrow.
No eating tomorrow. Nah. No, yeah, we're almost done, baby girl. But what's it called? So, yeah, day 10 was, and I guess our 12 days of Christmas expert is gone. So we may not be able to say what the things are in the song, but day 10 represents the Ten Commandments, right? Going back to that Torah, right? Again. So the Ten Commandments, which are so beautiful, so good. We need to hold on to those. And then day 11 is the 11 faithful apostles, right? Again, no argument there,
yeah.
Right? There, some people will still debate over, you know, who the 12th is, but... we ain't got to get into all that, right? We know the 11 faithful, right? The ones that stuck around. And then, or came back, I should say. John stuck around. The 11 that all came back together were there at the day. And then day 12 is the 12 points in the Apostles' Creed. Mm. So I think that is really cool. The Apostles' Creed,
yeah.
Again, that's one of those things where the majority of the church, I feel like I can't think of people within the church that would say, no, we don't agree with the Apostles' Creed.
No, within the church. No.
Yeah.
Because I think that's held up because everything was based off scripture.
Yeah.
And even though it was created through Catholicism,
yeah,
we can't deny that.
Yeah, well, and I think, I mean, come on, guys, we just need to recognize that's where we all came from. Yeah. Like we all came from there, right? And so it's one of those things to where pre-Protestant, mm-hmm. right? Pre-Protestant Reformation, then. Like that was all of our, you know, I mean, other than if maybe you're sorry, you know, if you're Eastern Orthodox and, you know, you guys had the schism earlier than that. But I mean, outside of those things, it's like we all really do track back to the Catholic and Eastern Orthodox Church, right? Up until that schism, it was just one. So it's one of those things to where that's, it's not like our history started at the Protestant Reformation,
no.
Right? Like, no matter what church you're part of, your history did not start at the Protestant Reformation. Your history started at, you know, Jesus' birth, day one, or the day the church was born, on the day of Pentecost. Like, that's where it started.
Yeah.
So, and it goes up through, and we share that history all the way up through the Protestant Reformation. So, or the Great Schism with Eastern Orthodox. So, what's it called? So you have those, yeah, those 12 points. One thing that I see, sometimes would throw people off in there is that, again, because of that shared history, there is the use of the word Catholic Church, the Holy Catholic Church. And really what that means, it's the universal, that true definition of Catholicism is the universal, the overarching, the whole church, right? And so
that's how God wanted the church to be called.
Exactly.
Universal, that we're reaching every people. Now, no longer Jews.
Yeah.
The Gentiles, that was the point of it.
Yeah. And then now there's, I think there's like a, oh, Bilbo's trying to get back in. Out, Bilbo. Out. Go ahead. I know. He put his head down. What's it called? But what's it? There is a, I want to say there is like a, there is a denomination now where it's like universal. Everybody always try to take names into their denomination and whatnot. There is one where it's like universal church and whatnot. So that's not what we're talking about when we say universal. We mean.
Are you talking about like the universalists?
Is that what a universalist?
It's
yeah.
It's a doctorate.
Yeah. So yeah.
We're not talking about them.
Yeah. But it's that idea that the church spans over the whole world, beyond the borders of denominations and that type of thing. So, yeah. So those are the 12 days of Christmas. Any final thoughts?
Oh, I thought that was cool because I didn't know that. But that's what the song meant. And like I've heard the song, but like I never memorized it. So
yeah.
And then we just got our expert back.
So yes.
We want to know 10, 11, 12.
Right. Yeah. What's 10, 11, 12? 10 pipers piping, that goes with 10 commandments. Okay. Oh, man. 10 lords a leaping, 11 pipers piping. Okay. 12 drummers. Okay. There we go. Appreciate it. So that is 12 days of Christmas. Thank you so much for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed walking through those 12 days. Again, I would encourage, this is one of those things that we can look to and we can say, hey, as the body of Christ, the Big C Church, right? There's things that we can agree on and let's grow in those things and spend more time focusing and growing in those things rather than on our differences. And with this, I would encourage each and every single one of you, use the 12 days of Christmas. Don't let Christmas season stop on the 25th, right? Use those 12 days as a practice to just give thanks for these things. Talk about these things with your family. Go over them, grow an understanding of these things and keeping our mindset fixed towards God and giving thanks, leading out of the old year and into the new. Mm. All right. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope.